Good morning. It's good to see everybody. I see we have some visitors. You're most welcome. As a matter of fact, two of our visitors were helping with the putting of the little placemats outside for our tables. I believe it was Jenna, I think maybe 7 or 8. And there was Jordan, probably 3 or 4. But they were out there helping, which brings me to the point. We're eating after church today. I invite everybody to stay, and particularly our guests. The food is always delicious. I've put on weight ever since I've been here, and I'm blaming the women. I've titled my sermon today, The Local Church, the Body of Christ. The local congregation is the only unit of organization that the New Testament writers knew and revealed where the will of God was to take place within the body, within the members of the church. But still today, there are some people who would insist, Christ yes, church no. But I would like us to take a look and see if that is even possible according to the revealed, what is revealed in the Scriptures. Because I would tell you this morning, you cannot separate the head, Jesus Christ, from His body, the church. In Ephesians 1, I'm going to read verses 18 to 23. Particularly, pay attention to verse 22 and verse 23. Ephesians 1, 18 to 23. I pray also that you will have greater understanding in your heart, so you will know the hope to which He has called us, and that you will know how to be rich and and that you will know how rich and glorious are the blessings God has promised His holy people. And you will know that God's power is very great for us who believe. That power is the same as the great strength God used to raise Christ from the dead and put Him at His right side in the heavenly world. God has put Christ over all rulers, authorities, powers, and kings, not only in this world, but also in the next, and the important two verses. God put everything under His power and made Him the head over everything for the church, which is Christ's body. The church is filled with Christ, and Christ fills everything in every way. Although this passage speaks of the church universal, the point remains, the church is the fullness of Christ. Most biblical scholars, when they talk of this passage, explain that that which is talked about is the church. The church being that where the eternal purpose and plan of God is fulfilled upon the earth today. In order to have one, you must have the other. You cannot separate Christ from the church. Now, would you think about removing your head from your own body? I doubt it would work. Nor will it work in Christianity. Christ cannot be separated from His body, the church. They are one and the same. Where does the New Testament locate the responsibility of disciples to be members of one another? In the church. In what situation is there a need for qualified Christians to serve as elders, deacons, Bible teachers, givers, helpers, and evangelists? What is the context in which disciplinary action must be carried out in order to preserve and promote purity among disciples of Christ in the church? The answer is clear. It is in the local body of the church. We are driven to this conclusion that the local congregation, and only the local congregation, is where the work of the Lord is carried out upon the earth. This next statement is important. In order to be a truly functioning member of the body of Christ, each Christian must be actively involved as a member, where? In the church, the local congregation. The work of the church, this is where the Lord's will for His people is revealed according to Scripture, can be summarized into two categories. The work of the church is two parts. Edification of members and evangelism, evangelizing the lost. These are activities that must be carried out at the same time. We cannot do one and forget the other. Because to do one and forget the other is not the will of God. Some churches put all their efforts in evangelizing and not in the edification of its members. That is wrong. Some, and probably more, emphasize edification of the members over evangelism. That is wrong. It is not the will of Christ. Both must be actively worked at by the church. Every church, local church, needs a balanced approach to the work of Christ for the Lord's will to be done. The churches of Christ traditionally have been concerned about restoring Christianity. And where they have concentrated upon is in the mechanics. They've concentrated upon the externals of the New Testament church. Biblical practice, congregational autonomy, elements of worship and the such. This is important, and I'm not downplaying it. It is very important. But is this all there is to restoring the church? No. There are things that are just as important. It cannot stop just in the mechanics. Remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 23:23? But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. Both are important. Both. The mechanics, but also what is inside of the Christian. Paul also would have probably included the more excellent way. This matter of balance is crucial. If we restore the mechanics, but we ignore the spirit of man, ignore the heart, then it is a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. A church without love is dead. A lifeless body. A congregation that is not distinguished by the love of Christ among its members is a dead church. It will have lost its identity. Remember what we talked about last week? John 13:35. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. When there is no love of fellow members in the congregation, the Spirit of Christ is not there. The heart matters just as much as the mechanics. The Christian or the Corinthian church lacked in nothing, said Paul. They had the spiritual gifts. Yet, they lacked the love of Christ. They were being destroyed within by divisions and disorder, both which are signs of a lack of love. Christians were exalting themselves over each other. They were despising each other. They were permitting sin to be within the church and have done nothing about it. They had every gift, but they lacked one essential: the love of Christ. The love of Christ, it can be said that it is the love, the lifeblood of the congregation, if there is no love among the brethren, there can be no life within the congregation. The love of Christ is the measure of maturity within the church. A local church may have a tremendously gifted membership. It may enjoy all kinds of wonderful programs. They may have a dynamic ministry. They may be buzzing with activities. Its assembly hall may be filled or overfilled. But if there is no love, that congregation lacks the maturity that Christ wants for His people. These things may be desirable, but if the congregation does not love one another, it is not alive. Remember the words of Jesus in Revelation 3:1? To the angel of the church at Sardis write, "These are the words of Him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive." You know what Jesus then said? "But you are dead." The appearance of life. But Jesus said, "There is none." So spoke our risen Lord in the first century to the church at Sardis. And so speaks the Spirit of God through the Bible to many churches and congregations today. The Lord sees through the picture we'd like people to see, the facade, and He looks down at the heart of each of us. He knows if it's a show or He knows if it is real. Nothing stays hidden from the eyes of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. God ordained the existence and the assemblies of the local church so that members of these congregations would help one another grow to maturity by showing love to one another. This implies that local churches must have occasions of meeting together that members can interact one with another in love, building up one another, helping one another to attain salvation. If Christians do not meet together, they cannot build up one another. The words of Hebrews 10:24-25 should ring in our heads. Let us think about each other and help each other to show love and do good deeds. You should not stay away from the church meetings, as some are doing, but you should meet together and encourage each other. Do this even more as you see the day coming. It is no mere coincidence that the goal of this interaction of members was to encourage each other to what two things? To love and good deeds. Because these two things represent the life of Jesus Christ as He lived upon the earth. He loved people and He did good deeds. And that should be our goal. And that's why the Hebrew writer encourages us to come together regularly that we might encourage one another to love and good deeds, to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. The measure of maturity is the conformity of the congregation to the character of Christ. Let's listen to Paul as moved by the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. This work must continue until we all are joined together in the same faith and in the same knowledge of the Son of God. We must become like a mature person, growing until we become like Christ and have His perfection. There will be we will no longer be babies. We will not be tossed about like a ship that weaves and I can't read today, can I? We will not be tossed about like a ship that waves carry one way and then another. We will not be influenced by every new teaching we hear from people who are trying to fool us. They make plans and try any kind of trick to fool people into following the wrong path. No, speaking the truth with love, we will grow up in every way into Christ, who is the head. In order for Christians to build up one another, Paul said we must speak the truth in love. There's a balance here once again. Some people want to speak in love. Some people want to speak in truth. Paul said, speak the truth in love. And believe me, there is a difference. Paul wrote, speak the truth in love. Truth is important. There is a certain thing called truth in the Bible. And we need to be concerned about truth. The doctrinal content of our worship is called truth. But this is only half the picture. The attitude of our heart, our spirit, is the other half. The spirit of our worship to God should be one of love, one for another, since we are His children. The assembling of the local church is not simply for the purpose of going through a religious ritual. If our mental attitude toward the assembly of God is ritualistic, we are not worshiping God properly. The coming together of the local church as a body has a number of purposes. One is to worship God, but the other is to build up one another in truth and in love. Each individual member, that includes those who do not attend regularly, have a responsibility to one another, to build up one another, to encourage one another. A responsibility. It is a mistake for the congregation to center its entire life as a local body in the weekly assembly of the whole church. One, possibly two times a week? Would you agree to that with your own family? Would you say, good, today I'll come, but for 5 days I won't be at home and I'll come again? And we wouldn't do that in our own homes. But the home of God? We do it. We are a body. We are the people of God. We do have responsibilities one to another. Let us avoid the extreme of making the Sunday morning assembly the totality of our Christian life with one another. I know they're not expecting it. I don't want to embarrass them. But I'm going to point to Keith and Helen. They came forward a while back, repledging their lives. And if you notice out there on the bulletin board, they've hung up a list. They have invited the Christians, whoever they will, to come to their house and sing. We need more of this, brothers and sisters. They've set an example. Let's follow it. Invite people to your homes, the brethren. It doesn't have to be the whole congregation. I don't know if the whole congregation would fit in their house, but they'd probably stuff them in anyways if they came. But that, brothers and sisters, is what life in Christ is about, one with another. Sunday morning service is important, but it is not the totality of life in Christ with one another. The example has been set. We could all take turns inviting the brethren and the sistren to our homes, for singing, for a Bible study, or for prayer time, the examples in the New Testament. Look at that church in Acts. Did they just meet once a week and be happy about it? The Bible says they met daily. And yet, some of us seem to think there's more important things in life. Myself included in that. At the same time, we need to resist the opposite danger of contributing little or nothing to the church as a whole as it is assembled. The local congregation is the body of Christ. We are members one of another. Our English term corporate is a Latin word and it means a body. We are the body of Christ. We are an organism. We are a part of the whole. Can you imagine when Christians are not here? That would be like cutting off a finger or a toe or a hand and throwing it away for a while. And then later, trying to sew it back on when it comes. We are members one of another. Not because we chose to do that. We chose to serve Christ. It was God who put us into the church. It was God that said, you are members one of another. I didn't pick Lee to be a member of the church. God did. I didn't pick Donna to be a member of the church. God did. It's God who chooses and adds to the church. But it is my responsibility to love Lee. It's my responsibility to love Donna and to encourage them in truth to do what is right for purity's sake, for holiness, for their salvation. The local congregation is a body that God created Himself. We do have responsibilities one to another. Listen to what Paul says here. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. When you meet together in the name of our Lord Jesus, and I meet with you in spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus, then hand over this man to Satan, so his sinful self will be destroyed and his spirit will be saved on the day of the Lord. The purpose of this drastic measure was to motivate a brother that had sinned and was living in sin and was being allowed to still celebrate in the church, to hand him over to Satan that his soul might be saved. Some of us may say that's hard and wrong. But Paul says it is a responsibility to holiness within the church, a purity in the church. If you allow a cancer to stay in your body, the cancer will kill you. And it wasn't done in hardness. We read that when the gospel message was followed, this brother repented and came back to a life pure in Christ within the church. There had to be a demonstration on earth of that which was already done in heaven. The disfellowshipping of an unrepentant, rebellious sinner. Because if he's rebelling against God's will, against God's truth, his name has already been taken off the book of life. To love one another as Christ loved us means that we will do whatever is necessary, go to whatever length is required in order to help one another toward purity, holiness, and ultimate salvation in the body of Christ. Because only in the body of Christ is there salvation. We have responsibilities one to another. 1 Timothy 1:15, what I say is true, and you should fully accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Ephesians 5:25 and 27, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it, to make it belong to God, Christ used the word to make the church clean by washing it with water. He died so that he could give the church to himself like a bride in all her beauty. He died so that the church could be pure and without fault and with no evil or sin or any other wrong thing in it. So how can we not feel responsible to help keep the body clean and pure and without fault? Jesus manifested his love in this world by giving up his life that we might live, that we might be a part of his body. The church is the new incarnation of Christ upon the earth. His body on earth today. We must be about the business of proclaiming salvation to all mankind. The world is lost without the Savior. The world is lost without the body of Christ, the church. It is our business also to promote holiness and purity within the church. Christ made it clear that this great work cannot be accomplished apart from the willingness of Christians to pour out their life that he might work through them. He poured out his life. Are we willing to pour out our life to serve him? Dedication to Christ is a hard thing. It's not easy. But is it really asking too much? Is Jesus asking too much when he ask us to participate with our whole being in his church? You are members at Plymouth. You are members of the body of Christ at Plymouth, and Christ calls upon you to participate with your whole being. Are you willing to pour out your life as he poured out his? Is Jesus asking too much of us? Maybe you haven't committed your life to Christ. It's not too late. You can come this morning and wash away your sins in baptism. You can come and dedicate your life to Christ. You can learn to participate in the body as Jesus would have it. You can do it this morning as we stand and as we sing.